Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. I let the intro last a little bit longer because all the guys are kind of slow getting on today. Everybody's just getting in, so we should go back and play some more Christmas music, actually.
That would be nice.
Well, you missed it.
I didn't miss the Christmas music. You didn't play it.
Ron, can you tell Bruce that he missed the Christmas music?
Yes, you missed
Ron,
it, Bruce.
Ron, did I miss the Christmas music?
You did, sir. You missed it. It was nice.
Sing it to me. Sing it to me, Ronnie.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
La, la, la.
Police.
La, la, la.
Oh, please.
Bobby Bourne. Okay. Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
I did get to see my annual tradition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I can't let a year go by without watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
we
laugh.
Do have our,
don't laugh.
Our traditions, don't we? Yep.
Yeah.
I have mine, too.
Going to be a Christmas theme show, David?
Well, I figured I'd play that rather than hear you sing.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, wow. How's everyone doing today? We're on a good mood today. I see that.
Yes, we are.
That's good. Well, let's get into the show. We're glad everyone is with us today. And for everyone that's listening, we would like for you to join us. Call into the show, 646-668-8740, and tell us, you know, what you're thinking. You can also, I get a lot of texts during the show saying, what about this and what about that? So if you want to do that, I will also put that number out there so people can text me and we can talk about what it is on your mind. But we prefer if you call in and just tell us over the air what you would like. And this is an international show, so you're being heard all around the world when you call in here. So there's nothing like that. It's just a good thing. But I want to get right to the show because one of the things that I saw today that was interesting to me was the vaccine leaving Pfizer and heading out to the states. And all the states are supposed to be getting some of the vaccine. But what really what has been bothering me a lot is when I heard about a week ago or 2 weeks ago where the United Kingdom was using Pfizer vaccine and starting to inoculate the people of the United Kingdom. And my whole thing was, but wait a minute, Pfizer is an American company. Why has the United Kingdom got the vaccine before we did in the United States? So after a lot of research, there was a lot of things that came up about it. But the main thing that came up about it is the United States would not, you know, they're saying the FDA wouldn't pass it. So that was one reason. But the main reason was that the United States would not buy the product from Pfizer when the other countries would. That Pfizer wanted to sell the United States so many, if you buy these, so many. You need this many, and the United States said, no, we don't want to buy that many. So, and I understand that came straight from the White House. So I'm really concerned that we need to be taking care of our own people. What are your thoughts on that, Don?
Feliz Navidad. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Don, welcome back.
Welcome home. Man, I miss the man's voice. My God, I've been listening. Well, I miss you as well. David, thank you so much. That's what we've been doing. Our company is one of the companies that have been talking to the Biden administration and Kamala Harris and this new vaccine that's coming out. Our agency is vying to be one of the agencies they use to educate and inform people that do not want to take the vaccine. And you're absolutely right, David. The United States decided not to fund it, but they made a promise that they would buy it from Pfizer, and that's what happened. And those other countries were very proactive, more so than the United States. Our challenge is going to be educate people the importance of taking this vaccine. And it's going to be very difficult with people of color because they're very skeptical. And the healthcare has not been very good in the underserved community. And they remember the Tuskegee experiment with syphilis. So we've been on Zoom calls, and I got one a little later on tonight, and that's what we're doing. This is going to be a very interesting time in America. This is the first time we've had a vaccine come to market as fast and as quick as it did. And everybody wants this COVID-19 to be over with, and it's a two-stage process. You've got to take it, and then there's a part two as well. So we are in for an experiment and a ride starting tomorrow.
All right.
Don, even yeah. That's changing. The Johnson & Johnson one's going to be one shot, not two.
Okay.
At least that's what I heard.
When are they coming to market?
It sounds like pretty quick, within weeks, but they're not on the market at the moment, no.
And isn't there also the one that should be coming online too?
Yeah, I think you're right, Ron. I think there's a total of five or six that are real viable possibilities, and we've only seen the first one or two at the moment.
Let me ask the question with the men on this call. Are you going to take it when it is released, the first round?
My answer is a resounding 100% yes.
And my answer, since I'm in the vintage age category, will be I will consult my doctor, and if he says, Bruce, you take it, I'm right there to take it. He says, Bruce, you wait for whatever reason if it makes sense to me, I'll wait. But I'm going to go on the advice of my doctor.
All right. Let me ask what about you, Darius? Are you going to take it?
Hey, Don, welcome back, man.
Hey, Darius, I miss you, brother. I miss you, brother.
I miss you too, man. No, not initially, no. I don't have any plans on taking the vaccine to begin with. Not that I don't feel either way about it. Not that I think it's unsafe or I have any skepticism. I just I don't like injecting things into my body, any kind of medications, really. So I'm gonna hold off and wait and see.
I have a question, Darius. Do you like bologna sandwiches?
I love bologna sandwiches, man. Especially fried bologna sandwiches with cheese.
Yeah.
Really? So I have a
love
question.
Them.
I have a question, Darius. What's in the bologna sandwich? What's in bologna?
You knew that's where I was going.
Everything and anything. The only difference is I eat the bologna. I only inject it in my veins.
Darius, you forgot to tell him that it's a huge immune building mechanism, bologna, because fight against all kinds of things that might be in that piece of meat.
it
made me stronger.
I think, obviously, Bruce, you eat a lot of bologna, huh?
No. Some of us are full of it, but I won't mention names. I'm right there with Darius on fried bologna or fried ring bologna. You betcha, man. By deciding to describe what's in it. That's not good.
Right. All right. Let's move on. We didn't get to the question I asked. Why was the United States? And I know that Bruce did. Don said a little bit about it, but to me, why is Great Britain already passing out the vaccine to its people, and we're not starting till tomorrow? But also, do you know? Ron, who do you think would get the vaccine ahead of the general public? If there was a group of people in the United States to get it ahead of the general public, who do you think that would be?
Well, to me, it's kind of obvious. The frontline workers are doctors, nurses that are taking care of the sick patients, and then the elderly that are in the nursing homes. To me, those would be in the first group for sure. Then it gets tricky after that. And I think last week during the show, I think I said that the fact that each individual governor from each state is to decide the order of who gets the vaccines, I have issues with that. I would hope that there's recommendations from CDC and you know from the top to the governors, but in our case down here in Florida, I really distrust the fact that our governor is going to be in charge. This is a governor that has made mockery of coronavirus in a way, and so I don't trust him. You know, deciding who is next on the list. I really don't, you know, and why should it be up to him?
Well, Ron, I wish I could say you're right in your answer, but you're wrong. The White House staffers are to receive the COVID-19 vaccine ahead of anybody and the general public. So the White House staffers are people who are going to be first. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Who's surprised by that?
Nobody. I hope.
Nobody. Nobody.
Not surprised.
All right. So I tell you what. Why don't Don? You haven't been. You've been busy doing the other side of the thing, which is good for us. But why don't you take the lead on this? What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I'm kind of anxious to see the Biden administration come into power so we can get things done. But I do realize that between now and January 20th will be, I think, in my opinion, one of the most turbulent times in America, because we're going to experience a lot more than what we've already seen. We've just seen 126 Republicans signed a bill to overturn the election. after over 7 million people just voted Biden and Harris into office, and they ran it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court kicked it back down and said no. And here we are, we're still tripping and going through changes when we need to move forward. We're in a difficult situation, my brothers. I'll tell you that now, because in my opinion, I see three parties. I see the Democratic Party, the Trump Party, and the Republican Party. You know, it reminds me of the Democrat, Republican, the Whig Party. We're digressing, and we need to move forward. We need to move forward. People are dying. The economy is bad. People are standing in food lines. I don't know where you guys are with the food lines, but here in South Florida, it's bad. It's bad. It's terrible. And Ron can attest to it as well. I mean, I see mom and dad and children and the entire family standing in line in their cars with their masks on to get bologna sandwiches, Darius, and get food. I mean, business is closing. We got a serious problem here in America, and COVID-19. We just need to move forward. You know, I wish Trump would say, okay, I concede. I'm going to run in the next election. Let's move forward. Let me help. But it's not in it. And it bothers me. It bothers me, gentlemen. I want to move forward. I want to move forward.
All right.
I rest my case.
Okay. Darius, what are your thoughts? What do you want to talk about?
Well, in response to my brother Don, I don't know if he's been watching the news. He just told me he just got off a Zoom call. So the country has not been stagnated by Donald Trump's failure to concede. I mean, we see that this thing is moving forward. The virus has been shipped out today. Things are moving at a very rapid speed. So I don't see how his concession has anything to do with the economy and the cure to the virus or the vaccine virus to the virus moving forward. Donald Trump has been going full speed ahead. You can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. So he has every right, and it's over 30% of independents and Democrats as well both say that they do not believe in this election. They don't believe in the results of this election. So let the process unfold. Let it take its place. It's not going to make a difference if he waits to concede or if he never concedes. At the end of the day, when it comes time to certify the elections, they will be certified, and it looks like Joe Biden will be the president. But until then, I think Donald Trump owes it to America to investigate this, not only for him, but for the next election and the next. Now, I do agree with Don in another aspect, that we are looking at three different parties, because you have the never Trumpers and the Republican Party who are fighting against him. And then you have, you know, of course, the MAGA people who are, you know, fully supporting Donald Trump. So I do see where it is sort of like a three-party thing. But we've had this before. We had back when Paul Ryan was there, we had the Tea Party, and then we had the mainstream Republican Party. So there was a split before, and, you know, we'll continue to move forward. But the country is not harmed by this. I believe the country is helped by this. The country was created by diversity and diverse opinions. And we need that in order to progress as a union. And if there's anything that's going on, any fraud or anything that's happening to undermine the confidence in the elections, we need to investigate it. And I applaud Donald Trump for doing that, for fighting and continue to fight, because he's not only fighting for himself, but he's fighting for the integrity of the elections moving forward. And that's something that we definitely need to look into and take care of.
Every court has said no. Every court has said no.
All right. What about you, Ron? What's on your mind? What are your thoughts?
Well, in response to what Darius was saying, I don't see what more can be done. I think it's been proven, even as far as the Supreme Court said no, stop, you know, and now I what the Trump can for the country. And yes, you're right, Darius. I mean, differences of opinion are important, but this is beyond differences of opinion. This is the most violent that I have ever seen in this country. My brother
can't hear
it. Talking to
I can't hear
you're
him.
You're breaking
well.
All up. Yeah.
You're breaking up breaking a lot.
Up.
Is it better now?
Yes, that's better.
Yes.
Okay. No, I was saying that you're right, Darius, that you know, differences of opinion are important, but you know, this is beyond differences of opinion. You know, the country is the most divided that I've ever seen it. And I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but and I know I've brought this up before, but even in my own family, one of my brothers and I aren't really even talking to each other anymore because of politics, which is a shame. You know, it's really, really a shame. So I think what the best thing that Trump can do, which I don't think he will, and nobody thinks he will, is finally concede and give a speech to the country and say, you know, this has gone all the way to the Supreme Court. You know, Joe Biden is the president. We need to all stand together. You know, we need to fight this this invisible enemy, the virus, together and move forward as a country. I don't see that happening. I see Trump continuing to divide the country, maybe even more. After he's out of the office, I'm not sure what he's capable of. I mean, we've seen the divisiveness, you know, in campaign rallies and, you know, some people, the fights, et cetera. So I don't know what this president is capable of, but the best thing would be for him to concede, say Joe Biden has won fair and square. You know, this election was there was full integrity, and let's move together as one country united. That's how I feel. And by the way, I said this before the last time too. He's not even. I mean, he needs to be up there taking credit for warp speed and the vaccine coming in. You know, coming online at record speed. And I don't think he's doing a good enough job, you know, of promoting that and touting himself for that. I mean, he keeps going on and on about fraudulent election. Take credit for, you know, for something good and go out with a win. Go out with a bang.
Somebody's breaking up really bad.
Yeah. I don't even know who that was.
Oh, this is Darius. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
I just wanted to point out to everybody that the courts have not rejected cases on the basis of merit. So people are saying, oh, because Trump lost, there is no evidence. The courts aren't even looking at the evidence. The courts are rejecting cases based on processes. No court
I think
has
the
looked
Supreme
at the
Court.
Didn't
the Supreme Court reject it on the basis of merit, Darius? That's what I heard.
No, they did. No, it wasn't
yes,
based
they
on
did.
Merit. They reject. No, let me finish, guys. They never looked at the evidence. What the Supreme Court said was they don't have – one state doesn't have the right to sue another state based on the election. They never looked at the evidence.
Hey, Darius,
so
that's common sense.
That's based on process.
Darius, that's common sense. I should have no right to tell you what's happening in Georgia. I'm in Florida.
Right. I'm saying that may be right, but I'm saying that's still based on process. It's not based on merit.
Darius, you're breaking up, I think.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was just agreeing with Don that I could agree with the fact that no state has the right to tell another state how to handle their election. It was a long shot for the Texas lawsuit. But what I'm saying, though, it still remains that no court has rejected the evidence. No court has looked at the evidence and said, this did not happen. This is untrue. He's not lost on the basis of merit in any of these cases. And for us
but
to say, oh, don't worry about it, just...
But what about the guy that Trump appointed to oversee the security of the election saying that there was no widespread fraud? What about that? Is he lying?
Yeah, he is lying. He got fired. Because you should not come out saying, when there are cases pending and you have affidavits from people who were actually there, and then you come out ahead of time and say, oh, this is the cleanest election ever, you are not doing your job. Because at the very least, if that's what you are over, then you should open the investigation until the investigation is done. This is a never Trumper. This is someone who is against Donald Trump and came out and spoke prematurely. So he definitely should have been fired. I'm not arguing the point, guys, either way. All I'm saying is no court has rejected any of these cases based on merit. And for us to say, oh, he should just concede and move on, it shows a lack of system. No matter what side you're on, we should all, as Americans, want this thing to play out. And we should want to see or investigate these matters to make sure that we have honest elections moving forward. I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't see how anybody could object to that.
Actually, I'm concerned. I'm confused that you're saying that all the courts, the lower courts, the upper courts, Supreme Court, had no merit in what the decisions they made. So you're saying our whole legal system, and most of it was put in place by Trump, is wrong and has no merit?
No, it's not that they don't have any merit. I'm saying they didn't reject any of the cases based on the merit of the cases. They were all rejected based on procedure.
Well,
I'm sorry?
Procedure is part of merit. If the procedures weren't right,
no,
then it's merit also. You're saying merit is you believe or you don't believe. You believe in the honesty of the court or the truth or the work that the court has done. So that's the merit.
No.
So you're saying that
let me say for example this is procedure, okay? Let's say procedure says you have a case against me. I live in Georgia, you live in California, and the courts reject the case saying, hey, Darius lives in Georgia, you gotta take that case to California. That's being rejected on procedure, not based on the evidence that I have against you as a claimant. So
but the Supreme Court is over all of these different states. And if the Supreme Court says it's wrong, it's not by state. It's by looking at everything that the state submitted and to say that obviously there's something wrong. It has no merit for us to approve. Don't you think?
But they never looked at the evidence. They're basing it on procedure. They didn't say that Donald Trump was wrong or that Texas was wrong. They were saying the way they presented the case or the fact that the manner in which they presented it was wrong. They didn't reject it on the merits of the case because they never even heard the merits.
But Darius, let me ask you this then. Let me play devil's advocate and ask Darius this question. If that's true, what you're saying, then why wouldn't the Supreme Court, especially the justices that were appointed by Trump, why wouldn't they, speak out and say something, you know, and say, we're rejecting this based on procedure, not merit. I think we should, they should have said something if what you're saying is true.
Scalia and Thomas did say that. Scalia and Thomas did say we wanted to hear the case, but they do agree with the other justices that the manner in which they presented it, as far as Texas, they presented it in a manner as if they were suing the other state. So they were saying, you guys are not. So Thomas and Scalia did come out and say that.
But that's only two.
I'm just saying, no, it didn't take everybody to come out and say it. You said, why didn't anybody say it? That two of the justices did say it.
And so what happens now?
That Texas case is dead. I mean, that's done. But what happens now is, the Trump team is going to have to present their cases to the Supreme Courts of those states, of Pennsylvania, Oregon, Michigan, Nevada, and I think it's Arizona, I believe, is still one of them. So that's where it is now.
Yeah, I think so.
But the Supreme Court of the United States oversees the Supreme Courts of the states.
They do, but that's another case. That was the case. This is an entirely different
case.
Well,
it'll be January 20th before that. It'll be, the guy will be in office before those are even come to for us to even waste money and time on that. That doesn't make any sense.
Now, they're going to expedite it. They're going to expedite it. We'll know next week.
Oh, so we're going to have a chance to read all the merit points expeditiously.
Maybe if they read it, they may not. They may just reject the case altogether, just refuse to hear it, you know, like the other courts have.
All right, gentlemen, I think we've talked a lot about that. Don has to go to his Zoom call, so he dropped out. But one of the things that's going on.
Can I add
sure.
something, David?
Sure.
You got to remember the makeup and the thought process that Trump brings to the presidency, too, as he's a businessman, et cetera. And he hate, as we all know, he hates to lose. You can argue on what he does to maintain that. But if you look at the track record from the day he started as presidency, even before, to now, he's been anything he did, anything he said was right. They hounded him into submission as far as this is wrong, this is not presidential, so on and so forth. And so many of them, the Russian dossier, the Steele dossier, Ukraine situation, on and on and on, have all been proven false. They didn't happen. So he's thinking now, I've racked up, every time I thought I needed to pursue something and no one else did, I was proven correct. So you don't think he's going to do this on the same one? I think the Democrats are building a stronger Trump as far as the fight he's going to put up, not less. And who knows how long it's going to go. It may be long after Biden becomes president. But if he's got a mindset that he's going to prove that there was too much done wrong in the voting process, and he's said this more than once, whoever, I want the right person to be the president. He didn't say, I will be president. He has said that, but more and more he has said the right person needs to be president, meaning the process has to be, a lot of these major questions have to be resolved. And that's what that's the bone this dog is going to chase until there's an end result. And I think even the Supreme Court saying no, he's just going to come around at different angles, and he's going to continue exposing this until he feels that he's exhausted all ways to bring this to light and get someone to pay attention. That's my prediction. And they don't know what they're unleashing, the Democrats. They're not making him go away. They're going to make him fight even harder.
You know, maybe so, but that's like sitting around, a bunch of intellectuals sitting around waiting for the special ed student to come up and make a conversation. It doesn't make any sense to me why you, because the Supreme Court said, basically, what they're saying is stop, let's move on, let's continue on. Why do you want to keep this when we have so much more going on? There's COVID-19, there's everything going on in the world right now. And the Supreme Court said, you know, stop this, let's move forward. But now we got this guy in the background, keep trying to make a mess. It doesn't make sense, Bruce.
But it didn't make sense either, David, for the 4 years that this current president was president, that they constantly made messes for him instead of working with him.
Sounds to me like
he's not perfect. No president is. But you gotta agree that they just hounded him mercilessly, and he could do nothing right, absolutely nothing. And I don't think we've had any president that's been one that has been that bad. None. And we've had some pretty bad ones.
Well, I think Obama had a hard time because getting things done, maybe not the same way as this president, because this president just keeps stepping out there and have, you know, people to
reject what he says. But Obama had a hard time also. So I think it's part of the presidency right now. This is just the way it is. But it's how you handle it.
Yeah. That...
But Bruce, I think part of the reason that so many people don't like Trump is, just some of the things that he says. I mean, some of the things that in this country that we for decades have relied on and trusted, he has said the most horrible things about them. The press, the CIA, the FBI. I mean, that's why people don't like him.
One of the things that this president does. I'm sorry.
Ron,
Go ahead, Bruce.
I was just going to say, part of what you said, Ron, has truth in it. Absolutely. He's not the most subtle guy. We know that. That's for sure. And like I said, I'm not left or right. I tend to be down the middle. But the thing that I keep focusing on is if we have a current president or even a past president, but in this case a current president, that feels there's something that needs to be exposed that was significantly wrong in the voting process. And we all agree this process, for a lot of different reasons, including COVID, was done totally different than it's ever been done before. Had some pluses because of it, more people voted. Had some negatives, potentially a lot more problems, possibilities. That he's going to run with that until he feels that that's been either exposed, answered, or whatever. And he'd like the Supreme Court to do it, but if they're not going to take it up, as Darius said, they didn't take it up because of the way it was, the process, the procedure. They never considered the evidence that is behind that process. They said the process is wrong. We're not going to address it. And they don't like to get involved in that sort of thing anyway.
And shouldn't Giuliani have known that Texas can't sue the other states?
Well, you're onto something there. There's definitely some people that in Trump's camp that don't think Giuliani was the right pick to be the front man for what they were trying to do. And I'm not so sure that that isn't true. Maybe it should have been somebody else.
All right, gentlemen,
let's remember this.
Okay.
Let's remember this, guys. Giuliani didn't bring the case. It was the Texas Attorney General that brought the case.
Yep.
They just went ahead and joined the lawsuit. But I also want to point out, too, when we talk about Obama, the differences is there were not false charges or false dossier by a foreign government brought to Obama. No one tried to discredit Obama's legitimacy as a president. The FBI and the CIA were not in cahoots to try and have him impeached. They did not use a fake phone call to try to get him kicked out of office. His campaign was not spied on. His friends were not investigated. And the press did not bring out people like Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti and loop them on 24-hour loops to try to destroy his presidency or his children. But these are things that happen. So, Ron, there's no wonder that the president has said terrible things about these people, because these people have tried to literally put him and his children in jail and his friends based on false accusations, which we know are false now because we've had investigations and we see what's happened with Hunter Biden, which proves that his phone call to the president of the Ukraine was a legitimate phone call, because now it's coming out in Hunter Biden's case.
Yeah, but you're saying all these people didn't try to bought this against Trump. No, they didn't. Trump did. Trump tried to say Obama wasn't a United States citizen, didn't have a birth certificate. He tried on his own to do it. All these other people didn't have to. So why are you saying that? I mean, he had legitimacy for being in office, but yet there was one person who said he was not a citizen of the United States and where is his birth certificate, and that is the person who's the president of the United States now. So you can't say he wasn't challenged. He was, by this one person.
No, I didn't.
But I want to move things
a little. he wasn't challenged that way. That's an individual citizen who Donald Trump was a citizen at the time. You didn't have the entire deep state and the entire press.
Nobody
the
else.
And the
nobody
CIA
else would have done
Obama.
Anything like that. That's because nobody else wanted to do anything like that because we knew it was all false. But anyway, let's move on. One of the things I want to bring in is that we have a couple of the guys who are not on. Jeremiah, you've been listening to this conversation. Give us your thoughts. Jeremiah. Say hello.
He doesn't want to share his thoughts.
He's
oh,
in
no.
deep thought.
Okay, then, Spencer, you've been listening before sports. Before we get to the sports, can you tell us what your thoughts are on our conversations?
Well, I agree with most of the guys. I really just think it's just time to move on He has another shot if he's going to run. I just think right now there's more important issues in the country right now than trying to say that the election was a whole farce and things like that. I think he could be doing a whole lot better to set himself up, him and the Republican Party, for a re-election in 2024. And that's just really my thought on it. And something else, but I forgot. Something about the merit. I forgot. I think of the label.
All right. One of the things that is going on that's a little strange is that a lame duck president is trying to dispose of all of the people in the United States who have been to court and have had death sentences given to them over the last 20, 30 years. And he wants them all killed but before he's out of the White House because he knows that Biden doesn't like the death penalty. Isn't that kind of stuff, those kind of things like that, isn't that what's challenging the president of the United States now for coming up with, let's just kill people off? Bruce, can you answer that for me?
I can answer it this way. I haven't heard that at all, and I doubt that that's the way it was presented.
It is the way it's going. You better read the news, hear the news.
Well, I will, because I doubt it. Because if that's true, literally the way you said it, then that's awfully cool. Let's just kill all these people now because they're on death row so we can, as they said in the Christmas Carol, decrease the population. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. What about
for any president to say that?
That's true, but that hasn't been done in 100 years. And if you pull up CNN or whatever you want to pull up, you'll find it's there. And it's very strange, something going on that this it's very concerning. And the news is just starting to pick up on it and put it out there because under the White House, because all of these go to the White House to be, to try to get out of it, but they're saying no, and he wants all of them, put up for it. That's in the news, but let's move on. Ron,
I would suggest, David, we all check the what's that? There's that independent news source that's supposed to be as best as unslanted as possible. I sure as heck wouldn't see CNN as a reliable source any more than the people on the left would see Fox News as a reliable source. There's one something, what's it called, guys? U.S. Words or something like that that is very, very neutral.
National Enquirer?
What? National Enquirer? No, I don't think so.
National Enquirer?
Shame on you. Is that what the left thinks is neutral? I know you're being funny. But you know what I'm talking about. They're a very reliable, independent, unslanted source as best we can have right now. And that's the one I would check.
Hey, I want to ask this, Bruce. That charge, whoever made that report, because
Darius, your phone is breaking it out really bad.
I'm sorry. Is this better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Much better. No?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a very absurd charge, and the way we can weigh this And this is why Donald Trump calls the press the enemy of the people. The way I don't even hear, never even heard the story, but the way that I know that it's false is because the death penalty is carried out by the governors of the states. The president has no say so. The only thing a president can do is pardon someone, but he has absolutely no say in the role of execution of a prisoner of the state. So this story is absurd. It's false on its head. And whoever wrote it is despicable, disgusting.
Well, that's because you don't want to hear anything bad about the president, but actually you need to go in.
Oh, geez, David,
no,
David.
It's not about the president. David, it's not about the president. David, the governors carry out the signed execution order. The president of the United States doesn't execute people.
But
the federal government doesn't execute.
They go to the Supreme Court. They can go up to the Supreme Court, and then they can go to the White House for approval,
yeah, but he has no control. Donald Trump has no control over a prisoner being executed in a state. The only thing he can do is pardon him. He can't say, hey, speed this, execute this guy. He doesn't have that power. That belongs to the states. So that's how you know the story's false.
All right, Ron, what do you want to talk about?
Well, wow. What do I want to talk about? You caught me off guard there, David. I don't know. I'll ask somebody else.
All right. Let's go back to Bruce. What are your thoughts? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I'd be very curious on a number of you that have left or far left leanings. You talked about splits in the parties, that we had a three party system. On that line of thinking, aren't you sure we might have a four party system? You don't think there's a division between the left, far left, and the left? I think even Joe Biden as president is going to really struggle with that. Don't know how strong or how weak he'll be in getting what he personally wants, or whether he'll want anything. I just don't know yet. But I hope there's some things that guide him positively. But if you're going to say that the right is split between Trumpers and non-Trumpers, it sure is split on the left between left and far left, radical left, and what used to be normal left. And I think most of you gentlemen that are on the left are in the normal category. Aren't you worried about Democrats being pulled that far left, and what might happen to the party? What's your answer? What do you think?
No, because I think the radical left, Bruce, is so far, so many absurdities, and you know, I kind of fall in the middle somewhere. I tend to be a little more liberal than conservative in some issues, but in other issues more conservative than liberal. So, you know, I'm in the middle somewhere, but I don't think the left is in jeopardy at all from, you know, people like Ocasio-Cortez, you know, and you know, These are really, really radical ideas in many ways. And, you know, she also probably has some good ideas that we might want to listen to. But I think the American people, and, you know, no matter whether you're in the left or right, will continue, you know, to move the country forward the way it always has, whether there's a Republican president or a Democratic president, and not fall into the extremes of either side. I kind of was thinking that we were headed almost in the direction of a dictatorship. I mean, I hate to use that word, but, you know, I don't think anybody can disagree that Trump is a narcissist, you know, and just, you know, a totally different persona from any other president that we've ever had. So I was a little scared of where this country might be headed, with another 4 more years of Trump. And, you know, like Darius said, you know, it's not over till the – well, he didn't say till the fat lady sings, but, you know, there's still a few more days before January 20th, so a lot can happen. But, no, I don't think the Democrats are concerned about the far, far radical left.
I hope Ron, I hope you're right. I share your hope. I hope you're right.
Well, gentlemen, time for sports here on the.
Oh, is that what that is? Sports?
Yeah, it's sports coming in now. So we have Spencer there. Spencer. LeBron was named the Time 2020 Athlete of the Year. Do you think he deserves that?
I mean, he's great and all. Of the year, I would probably thought it would have been more like Patrick Mahomes, who won the MVP for the Kansas City Chiefs. Or, that probably would have been my guess. But, you know, I mean, LeBron is great in his own right, but it should have been Patrick Mahomes, so that's kind of shocking. I didn't know he won that award, actually.
Okay.
What happened to the Canes?
Ooh. We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, that was not good.
That wasn't good at all.
All right. So, you know, the NFL had several people to test positive, but they decided to play anyway. Now they're having a lot of time defending their decision. Tell us about that, Spencer. Why would they do that?
That's not a story I heard. So far from what I've seen and been reported, that if you caught COVID, you did not play, period. And I know I just saw a recent stat that they tested out of all – oh, no, I guess that was NBA. I'm sorry. But I haven't seen that report that players played and had COVID. I know all the players are tested after the game, and if they determine they have COVID, they do not play the next game or until they have, I guess, 2 negatives. But I have not seen that report. That they let players play that had COVID-19.
Let me back up a little bit. What I mean was the Baltimore Ravens, their receiver, their wide receiver, Dez Bryant, he tested positive. But instead of pulling the whole team because he was with the team playing, instead of pulling the game with the Dallas Cowboys, they decided to let the Baltimore Ravens go ahead and play with the Dallas Cowboys and not pull the team back because one of the team members had tested positive without testing them. You think that was a good idea?
Oh, yes, that story. That was kind of interesting how they allowed them to play. I would have thought they would have pulled the whole game because, like you said, it was doing warm-ups, and he was on the field at the time warming up with the players. So – but nobody else after the game has tested positive after that game. So,
well, it takes days.
Yeah.
4 or 5 days.
So we will see the outcome of that because that's still yet to be determined. But as after the game, none of the players and coaches have tested positive after that game. So, but we will see in the next coming days if through contact tracing, if that was the case, and it is, then I expect some fines to be handed down, not only to the Baltimore Ravens, but the NFL should take accountability, and Roger Goodell should take accountability of how that happened and why these players got, why the game wasn't canceled. So I will see in the next coming days what would happen, what would become of that situation.
Hey,
Spencer?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Spencer, this is Bruce. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I was under the impression, you know this much better than I, that both pro and football, but particularly pro, they test to ad nauseum. They test before, they test literally sometimes during a game, after a game, a day before, during practice, and I may be exaggerating, but they test constantly. Having said that, if that's true, when do they determine whether a team is going to not play a game? Is it more than two or three, or can they just isolate, take those people out? Because as we know, if one or two test, you don't know who's carrying it, who isn't. What determines if a game is canceled or not played?
The amount of players,
the number?
Yeah, the number. For example, the Baltimore Ravens, I think they got fined pretty big because they had more than 20 players test positive,
oh, okay.
and they had that game. So there was some fines on that. And that stemmed from the I think their last game that they played was against the Cowboys, or the game before that, they didn't even have no starting running backs, no wide receivers. It was about 20 players that was out. And about 13 of those players were all Pro Bowlers and starters. So they had canceled that game, and they rescheduled it. Like, we done had games played on a Tuesday, a Wednesday. I haven't seen them Friday yet, but so far we had games played on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because they done pushed the game back to retest these players and to see basically contact tracing. That's what the NFL goes by, contact tracing. If you have it, they'll see who you've been around. They'll test that person,
right.
And they determine who sits and who plays depending on contact tracing. That's what they usually go by. And if the game will go on the next day, then that's what they'll do. They'll play it the next day or the next 2 days, or they'll have double headers on a Thursday, which we usually don't see.
Right.
All right, Spencer. College football. You know, it seems like the top five. Will stay top five every week. First Alabama, then Notre Dame, then Ohio, then Clemson, then Cincinnati. Last week, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio, Clemson, Cincinnati. Although Texas A&M seems to be trying to move up. They went from number seven to number six. So do you think that in college football, Alabama is going to end the year as number one?
That's yet to be determined. I mean, they have a good chance. You know, at those four teams, well, I'm not going to say those four teams would make it, but one of those, all those four teams could not make it. They lose their conference championship game. Notre Dame has to play Clemson, so likely between Notre Dame and Clemson, one of those teams would move forward. I think if Alabama loses to Florida, then in the championship game, then that knocks them down a bit, and that might help out Texas A&M and Ohio State. I think Ohio State is going to win out. So between Ohio State, Texas A&M, you know, it's a good chance that might happen, depending on how the committee sees Texas A&M and these teams. They haven't played all their games. Ohio State only played five games. They're 5-0. If they're playing the championship game, if they win, that'll only be six games compared to other teams that played 9 and 10 games. So it's going to be – and Florida lost a nail-biter yesterday. So, you know, they're number six. If they beat Alabama, do they go up? What about Texas A&M? So it's a lot to be determined right now on exactly how the season will end. But I would think either Notre Dame or Clemson will be one of the teams, and Ohio State will be one of the teams to make it to the college playoffs.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. We're only like 20, 30 seconds left. We'd like to thank everybody who was listening. I want you to call us in more, call in and join the conversation. I want to thank everyone who was on board. Hope that Don gets the vaccine piece. Everyone understands. And if the vaccine comes out, my suggestion is if you want to take it, you know, time is to find out where it's going to be I know that there's a lot of the organizations are trying to be able to distribute the vaccine. So, but anyway, we'll see you all again next week. Thanks, guys.
And
go ahead.
Have a good week, guys. And on a lighter note, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride my horse open sleigh. Take care, guys.
Take care.
All right.
Take
care.
Awesome.